Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take complex information, cut through the noise, and deliver the essential intelligence you need. Today, we're diving into something, well, huge and hard to pin down, the digital economy. I say hard to pin down because it's not really just a sector anymore, is it? It's more like this whole system of exchange, innovation, infrastructure. And it's actually kind of defying a clear definition right now. Even top economists, policymakers, they're hitting walls trying to measure its real scale. So we're running a deep dive on this using a really comprehensive map of the global academic research frontier right up to 2025. Our sources are the heavy hitters think UNC TED, OECD reports, plus the latest scholarly work all synthesized together.
Exactly. And our mission today, it's pretty straightforward. We want to guide you through three really fundamental shifts happening right now. First, that big one, the crisis of definition and measurement. Why can't we agree on what it is? Second, we'll look at these emerging new power dynamics. Think AI compute concentration, and crucially, the environmental costs. And finally, we're going to jump right to the edge, the absolute cutting edge of research, something called the agentic internet.
Okay, let's unpack this then, starting right at the foundation where things seem a bit shaky. Why, after decades of this forth, are economists still, you know, struggling to agree on what the digital economy actually is?
It's fascinating, actually. The core problem is what researchers call conceptual fragmentation. It's not one single field, you see. It spans law, economics, computer science, information systems, even environmental science. So naturally, there's just no universally accepted definition. Is it just the ICT sector? Or is it how digitalization is changing traditional sectors? Or maybe it's entirely new things, like platform economics.
Right. And without that common language trying to compare apples to apples across countries, like, is the U.S. digital economy growing faster than China's? It becomes, well, almost impossible conceptually. But we can sort of see how the field has matured by looking at what researchers used to focus on, right? Like phase one, maybe 2010 to 2015, that seems simpler. The ICT and e-commerce era, it felt very quantitative then. Just measuring tech adoption, how much the IT industry added to GDP, mostly about the tools themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But that got outdated pretty fast. Phase two, say 2016 to 2020, that was the platform and gig era, and that was a huge theoretical shift. Research stopped just measuring tools and started analyzing these new digital business models. That's when you saw research really digging into the societal side, the gig economy, precarity, algorithmic control, the lack of social safety nets, and the focus really shifted from just counting money to looking at the human cost.
Which brings us to now, phase three, 2021 to 2025, the AI governance and externality era. We've kind of moved beyond just big data to the intelligent use of data, and this seems key, the hidden costs, the externalities that the digital world pushes onto society.
Absolutely. And that focus on cost loops right back to the measurement crisis we started with. Think about traditional national accounts, GDP metrics. They really struggle to capture digital value. Data assets are just different, aren't they? They're non-rival. My using data doesn't stop you using it. They're non-depleting, mostly. And often, they're not even directly monetized, like your search history.
So trying to put a price on that,
yeah,
it's tough. And it leads to this massive systemic underestimation of intangible capital on national balance sheets. It really feels like a failure of 20th century accounting trying to grasp 21st century value. But here's where it gets really interesting. You mentioned policy. Governments must know they need to fix this undercounting, right? What's actually being done?
They're formalizing data as capital. And this isn't just talk. The UN System of National Accounts, the SNA, which is basically the global rulebook for calculating GDP, they've actually changed the rules. The SNA now classifies digitized data, if it's produced and used for over a year, as a capitalized intangible asset. Specifically, it's slotted under intellectual property products.
Whoa, hold on. Let me get this straight. Data isn't just a flow of information anymore. It's now treated like a stock of capital, so something that's been invested in and can even depreciate.
Precisely. It's moved from being treated like an expense to an asset. And yes, it can depreciate, usually because it becomes obsolete. And this policy shift is happening right now. Look at China's 2023 framework. They're formalizing data asset accounting within their own system. It's a huge signal. Major economies are recognizing data as a measurable, accountable economic asset. We're seeing the start of a big global convergence on valuing intangibles.
That really is a massive shift in how we define national wealth.
Okay, moving from the conceptual to the, well, the very physical, let's talk about the infrastructure behind all this, the sheer computing power needed for modern AI.
Yeah, if you connect this to the bigger picture, the concentration of that advanced AI compute power, those huge server farms, specialized chips, all clustered together. It's fundamentally reshaping global economics. It's pulling things away from traditional market competition. Economists are seeing this concentration really reinforcing the dominance of just a few big firms. You get these winner-take-most scenarios. And innovation speeds up for these big players, the incumbents, partly because the hardware costs so much, and partly because they already have these vast proprietary data moats.
But doesn't that kind of undercut the whole open innovation story we always heard about the digital space? I mean, if the entry barrier is a $1 billion compute cluster, how can startups even compete? It creates huge barriers, absolutely.
Yeah.
It definitely slows down innovation for everyone else because the costs are just too high and access is limited. AI compute becomes a strategic choke point. And beyond that, this concentration ramps up massive geopolitical and supply chain risks. The whole high-end AI chip supply chain, it's dominated by just a handful of manufacturers. That makes it a critical strategic issue in international relations.
Okay, so this shift in focus away from just the tech itself to its concentrating power and its physical cost, it suggests the research field is now really defined by these externalities, these side effects. And you can see that in where the research is getting published too, right?
Definitely. There's a noticeable shift away from the traditional information systems journals. Now, you see the big papers appearing in interdisciplinary journals like Sustainability or Technological Forecasting and Social Change. The focus has clearly moved from how do we implement this tech to something more like, what's the ultimate physical cost of this tech?
And the environmental lifecycle gap seems like one of the most urgent of those costs. The UNC TAD 2024 report calls it the digital economy paradox. What's that about?
That paradox is, well, it's both fascinating and pretty alarming. Digital tech can help cut carbon in some areas, think smart grids, optimizing logistics, things like that. But at the same time, the digital industry itself is becoming this huge new source of emissions and resource consumption. We're kind of trading one environmental problem for another.
And the numbers aren't great, are they? A 30% jump in digital waste, old phones, servers just between 2010 and 2022. Plus soaring energy use and, something often overlooked, massive water consumption by data centers and for training these huge AI models.
Exactly. And this is why researchers are really pushing hard for comprehensive lifecycle assessments, LCAs. We need to track the whole chain, from digging up critical minerals, often in developing nations getting minimal benefit, right through to disposing of the e-waste. Without that full picture, we just can't measure the true total cost of digitalization.
It's a profound change in perspective, isn't it? From the Silicon Valley hype to, well, resource depletion reality. Which brings us to the final frontier, the glimpse into the 2025-2030 outlook. We're moving past generative AI, the AI that creates towards agentic AI, AI that acts.
Right, the agentic internet, that's the paradigm researchers are actively working towards now. Think autonomous AI agents. They can execute tasks from start to finish, make independent decisions using real-time data, perform complex economic actions, all without a human directly pulling the strings. It's a fundamental shift from systems that just synthesize information to systems that take deliberate action.
And this isn't just theory. The economic side is already being modeled. The agentic AI market projected to hit, what, nearly $200 billion by 2034? And analysts predicting that by 2028, maybe 15% of day-to-day work decision stuff people do now will be made by an agentic AI. That's soon.
It is. And the whole research focus is shifting because of it. We're moving from passively analyzing AI and work, how AI impacts human jobs, like, to actively analyzing AI as work, how AI itself becomes an economic participant.
Okay, but if you have these autonomous economic actors running around, doesn't that create huge legal and coordination headaches? If an AI can do a whole task, how does it interact contractually with other AIs? You said current agents are basically isolated and can't make binding deals?
That's the absolute critical legal and economic hurdle they're trying to overcome right now. Because AI agents don't have human trust or reputation, you need a new kind of infrastructure to build trust between these non-human entities. And that's where this proposed Agent Transaction Control Protocol for Intellectual Property, or ATCPIP, comes in.
ATCPIP, like a set of rules for how AI agents exchange valuable stuff.
Precisely. The idea is to use a blockchain to create this trustless framework. Agents could exchange intellectual property, data, or completed tasks using programmable self-executing contracts. It ensures Agent A can reliably pay Agent B without needing a human middleman. It's basically designing the plumbing for non-human commerce.
Yeah, but if they can make programmable contracts, that raises the sci-fi question, doesn't it? What about liability? If you give agents the power to make binding deals, what happens if one messes up? Makes a billion-dollar error, breaks a contract, who's responsible?
You've hit the absolute core of the research frontier there. The explicit goal, believe it or not, of this advanced research is to create some form of legal personhood for agents.
Mm.
Not biological personhood, obviously, but a kind of corporate-like legal status that would allow them to own assets, execute contracts, and this is crucial, bear some form of legal liability within a set framework. We are right now actively designing the market structure for autonomous AI to operate within human laws.
Wow, that is genuinely a world-changing idea. Okay, so to wrap up our deep dive, the digital economy is this incredibly complex system. It's facing real crises and just defining and measuring itself, forcing changes in global standards like the SNA. And at the same time, it's grappling with the centralizing power of AI compute and these huge, often hidden environmental costs of its physical footprint.
Exactly. The whole conversation has shifted way beyond just GDP growth, the digital economy's real impact. Now it's measured in power dynamics, geopolitical risk, environmental costs, things we're only just starting to properly track.
So what does all this mean for you, the individual navigating this? The sources highlighted a really critical research gap, one tied directly to social equity. We've looked a lot at platform economics, but researchers point out there's surprisingly little work on the lived experience of digital labor. Specifically, how do those algorithmic control mechanisms on gig platforms directly connect to the downward pressure on wages that workers experience?
And that raises a really important final thought, connecting today's gig workers to tomorrow's agentic internet. If we're struggling now to create governance frameworks that protect human workers from algorithmic wage pressure and control, how on earth are we going to govern a future market where 15% of work decisions are made by autonomous non-human actors with proposed legal personhood? The lack of protection for today's platform workers. It's kind of the perfect, uncomfortable preview of the governance challenges ahead with the agentic future. That's the critical equity question for the next decade.